So, let's open our Bibles and let's first go to, let me look here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1:16. If you're going to effectively teach people, even as a parent or really anybody, anything, you want to start with the known and move to the unknown, right? Everybody gets their bearings, and one thing builds upon another. So let's start with the known, what we know. Romans 1:16, Paul, the writer of Romans, declares this, and we spent some time teaching in the area of the Gospels. What is the good news? What's contained in the Gospel? He says, "For I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. For in it," that is the Gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And that last phrase is what I want you to key in on. The just shall live by faith. You might understand it better if the word just, we say the justified. Even growing up in church as I did, and even in Sunday school, somewhere along the line we had this saying, you know, what is justified? It's just as if I'd never sinned. So when it says the just, it is those that are the redeemed, those that God has saved, and we won't have time to prove that out right now this morning, but you'll know from the Scriptures, when God forgives, God wipes it away and it doesn't exist anymore. So though we are imperfect, yet in Christ He sees us as perfected, righteous, holy, and pure. How does He do that? Well, He's God. He can do that. I can't. I remember my flaws. But it says here, the just shall live by faith. Now, you have a bit of a clue here where I'm going, where just before that it says it's revealed from faith to faith. When we see faith to faith, that means that one faith's going to come, and then we're going to move to another faith is going to come, and we're going to move to another one that's going to come, and we're going to move to another one that's going to come. In other words, we don't exercise faith once, but repeatedly. The just shall live by faith. So, everyone in this room is presently alive, to the best of my observation. When it says we live by faith, let me help. We live by breathing. Nobody's consciously thinking about how many breaths they're taking, maybe until I mention it now. But while we've been here, all of us have been breathing, in and out, in and out. And we live by breathing. Stop breathing, you'll stop living. We live by having a heart that is beating. Have you thought about how many heartbeats since you arrived here? So we live by heartbeat, 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 heartbeat. We live by consuming food for our bodies. Stop eating long enough and you won't live anymore. So these are things, breathing, heart beating, consuming food, these are things that we do repeatedly. Why? Because we're living. And when you see that word live, the just shall live by faith, that's what I want you to think about. You are going to live, the justified live, continuously walking by faith. Faith after faith after faith after faith after faith. I'll never forget my oldest daughter coming to me one time and saying, "You know, Dad, I thought we would exercise faith and accomplish a couple of things, and that would be that. Those things are settled." And she says, "I'm getting a little older, and I see now that maybe it's more like exercise faith and accomplish a thing, and exercise faith again and accomplish a thing, and another situation comes up and we have to exercise faith again and accomplish the thing. And then another thing comes up and we got to exercise faith again. And she said to me, I think I'm realizing that I will have to live exercising faith the rest of my life. And I told her, yeah, I figured that out too. You'd like to have things secured, done, you know, all prepared, and you're finished with that, and you don't have to think about it no more. Amen. When come home this week, I found a tree down in my yard. Well, I already cut up a tree. Why is another one down in the yard? You know, there's more trees. That's why. Now I got to go cut up that tree and take care of that laying in the yard. So if you're going to live, you're going to have to walk by faith. You're going to have to exercise faith. And just because you accomplish one thing doesn't mean you're done. Doesn't mean, you know, sometimes the same thing comes back. And you got to do it again. And I will be the first to tell you that there are things that happen in life, some of the situation with Pastor Sandy, where in my own heart I want to say, this ain't right. This ain't right. It's not fair. It's not right. It shouldn't be. This should never happen to a child of God. Yet when I'm done throwing that little tantrum, there's the situation still there. How do I go forward? Well, the just live by faith. No one says, I already took a breath once, and now I got to keep on breathing? I already did that, right? That's just too much. I can't do it anymore. We don't say that concerning breathing or heartbeat. Or I mentioned food as well. We certainly don't say that about food. You mean I got to eat again? Yeah. I like food. So we understand that staying alive means breathing. Staying alive, the heart must keep beating. Staying alive means we keep exercising faith. We live by it. Not we visit and occasionally have to do something. We live by it. Why do we think there will be a few rare occasions where we may have to live by faith? Why do we not understand it's a continuous thing, as normal as breathing? And by definition, when we're talking about doing something in faith, believing, by definition, everything done in faith is doing something with abilities we don't have. If it was abilities you have, you just do it. It doesn't require faith. I don't need faith to slap John in the face. I could just do that.
Me too.
Right? You do. But if I pray for healing in his body, I can't do that. But I exercise faith with him for healing in his body. If we're going to live by faith, we're going to live in a state of continual, there's not enough in me to do it. That's uncomfortable. I can handle this, and I can handle this, but this I can't handle. Well, welcome to faith. And if we're to live there, we're to be in a continual state of demands around us are more than what we are and more than what we have. Who wants that? Nobody. Nobody wants it. Yet here we are. And when you're there, you either rise up and walk by faith and take on whatever it is, or you lay down and die a little bit and suffer under it. In some cases, die a lot. In some cases, go home and be with the Lord because you died all the way, so to speak. So by definition, to walk by faith and to live by faith means every day, there's something more than what you can do. And you will need faith in God to continue to overcome. And so why is that unusual in our thinking that every day wouldn't have a challenge, that every day wouldn't have a difficulty that we can overcome or we can complain about? Any expectation that we can live in some state of rest, not having to be pressed to exercise faith, is an unfounded expectation. You don't find it in the Scriptures. Now, it does declare that faith is a rest, and there's a quality of entering into faith where the peace of God is upon you, in you, and you can take your mind off of some of the troubles and issues. Faith, when you truly enter into faith, has that quality. Faith is a rest, but you must continue to exercise that faith, operate in that faith. And the question may come up, well, for how long? It depends on the nature of the challenge you're facing. It may be something that doesn't take a whole lot out of you, and other things may take everything that you've got and then some to make it through that day to another day. Amen. There are times, Pastor Sandy's almost 7 years now, there are times when I feel, oh man, that's a long time to keep up a fight of faith. And I, like anybody, am tempted. I want it to stop. But until it stops, what? 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 Do I give up? Do I quit? No. No. How long is it going to take? I can't answer that. I had a desire for it to last for an hour. I had a desire to spend one night in the hospital with her, and that's it. But it wasn't that way. And of course, we know the Scripture, no temptation or test has overtaken you except such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested, tempted, beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide a way of escape. And we've taught at some length on that Scripture before. That means if it comes to your life, God has already looked it over and said, they can do it. He does not allow more than you can handle. And how many times haven't many of us said, I can't handle this. This is too much. And I have learned every time that starts to come to my mouth, it's a lie, it's not true. And I may not feel like I've got what it takes, but Lord, you've provided a way of escape and you've made me able. Show me how to make it through this, make it through the day. What do I say right now? I had a little bit of back pain and had to take care of myself just a little bit this week. And, you know, you're just tempted to say, oh, I'm just so weak. And I would think it, and immediately what would come up and then out of my mouth is, let the weak say, I am strong. Yes, Lord. Amen. Let the weak say, I am strong. So we should expect every day is a challenge. Every day is a day to walk by faith. And whatever it is, God has made us able. In Him, with His help, with His wisdom. By ourselves, no. No. From time to time, people will tell me concerning taking care of pastors, you're just so strong, you're just so strong. And I want to tell them, not at all. Not at all. God helps me. every day. Every day. And I'm performing at a level far beyond myself. Amen. And Pastor Dan is not special to God compared to you. Every day you can perform at a level much higher than where you are. Amen. All right. With that, every day you got to walk by faith. It's a lifestyle. It's how we live. I'm going to introduce something to you then this morning that I'll take a guess most of us hadn't thought too much about. It's uncomfortable. And if we do think about it, we just put it away. But let's go to Hebrews, and I'll take a little while to develop this. Hebrews 11. I got more pages than time this morning, so I don't know how far we're going to get. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. What is Hebrews 11, that chapter? What's it called? Hall of Fame of Faith. It's one of the most extensive teachings about faith, the God kind of faith. As Jesus said in Mark 11, have faith in God. Also translated, have the God kind of faith. So there's a lot in this chapter about faith. And remember, we looked at the just shall live by faith. Well, if we got to live that way, we should know something about it. We should know a lot about it. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is. Well, that's help already. Faith is present tense, never past. And it's not future either. Someday we're going to, no. Faith is now. Now faith is. Faith is a substance. I'm not going to teach all of these things, but substance, it means it's got a tangible quality. You can see it, you can feel it, you can discern it. You know when it's there, and you know when it's not. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right away, we see here, you're not going to see your way through. I don't see how this is going to work. Yeah, exactly. You don't see it. You can't see it. If you could see it, it wouldn't take faith. Verse 2, and here's where we start. For by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Well, wait a minute. What did they obtain? A good testimony. I don't know if I'm interested in a good testimony. I want to be relieved of the trouble. I want my promise to be fulfilled so that we don't have this trouble anymore. I don't care about a good testimony. I want relief. It's not what it says. Anybody besides me, you're kind of focused on, I want results here. What they obtained was a good testimony. Could it be that a testimony, a good testimony, is far more important than we might think? Could it be that a good testimony is maybe actually what it's all about? Let's go to the fourth verse. We're going to jump a few verses here and there. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained, there's that word again, witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, that's his gifts, he being dead still speaks. What did Abel get? What did Abel obtain? Witness that he was righteous. Could you see that's another way of saying good testimony? And we might think, what a tragedy that Cain killed Abel, that Abel never fulfilled his purpose, never reached his destiny, as people might say. Hang on, who said that he didn't? He obtained witness that he was righteous. God was so impressed with how he conducted himself that here we are for thousands of years still referring to the gift of Abel. What is held up here? In verse 2, good testimony. Here, in this fourth verse, a witness that he was righteous. Let's go to the fifth verse, next verse. By faith, Enoch, when he was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Stop for a second. When people die, God doesn't take them. If God takes them, they don't die. God's not in that business. God had taken him, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What is held up as number one thing with Enoch? He pleased God. He pleased God so much, he said, "Brother, I'm taking you out of here. Just come stay at my house with me all the time. Don't worry about this dying stuff. We're not going to wait for that. Just come on." We have so far three references, not to the one obtaining what they might have believed for, a promise, but obtaining a good witness, a good testimony. Could it be that a good testimony or pleasing God is far more important than we have thought? Verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. Can I say to you that to diligently seek is the same as live by faith? When we said the just shall live by faith, we're talking about a continuous process while you're alive. And if you're diligently seeking, that's a continuous process as well. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. By the way, once we move to heaven, are we operating in faith anymore? Not at all. Won't require faith. We're there in the presence of God. We see all truth with him. Faith is for this life. That's the only time we'll need it. So faith for this life, that's not bothering me, Juan. If not bothering anybody else, it's okay. So faith is for this time. It's for this life. When you get to heaven, you won't need it. When you get to heaven, your testimony and your witness will already be completed. It's done. Your time for a good testimony, your time for a good witness, your time to obtain a good testimony, which, by the way, I think is probably a good title for this message, obtaining a good testimony. That'll be done. It's only now. It's only today. It's only as we walk through the days we have left on this earth, we have a chance to please God. We have a chance to obtain a good testimony. And what I'm saying to you today, and will continue to say, is I think we have undervalued how important a good testimony is. Not just that you arrive at the conclusion and you say, "Whoo, by faith we made it." I'll just give an example, anything. I'm believing God for a new car. Well, okay, fine. And when you get that new car, does God say, "Whoo, you made it. I'm so glad you made it"? No, God was watching how you got there, not that you got there. We're focused on the end result, and we think the time in between is even wasted and lost. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. He doesn't say he's a rewarder of those who get the promise completed. He rewards the one who, as that phrase goes, come hell or high water, they just continued. I'm following God. I trust God. I don't care how difficult this is. I'm going to make it. I'm following God. You know, and you may get hit and hit and hit. And God is impressed with the one who can get hit and can get hit and still says, like Job did. Job had a lot of things wrong concerning what he said, but he said some things right too. Job said, though he slay me, which it wasn't God, yet will I trust him. When setbacks come, and they do, when something takes a long time and it delays, or dare I say it, you even get all the way to the end and it never happened, then what? Someone's believing God for healing in their body and they pass away? What about that? What about that? I'm submitting to you today, I think God will be more impressed on how they fought than whether they received in this time that healing or not. A good testimony. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. Is it possible that everything is more about how we journey than how we... I'll rephrase that a little bit. Is it possible the journey and how we journey is more important than receiving the thing we are believing for? How many believe that one day you'll be in the presence of Jesus, live everlasting with the Lord? Yeah. Most of us are trying to delay that day as long as possible. Why? Maybe another question is, how can you do that? Because you're confident in the promise. And you know, no matter what happens in this time, that is secure. What if you were secure in every promise of God? Is it possible it's more about the journey we're taking by faith, diligently seeking, how we conduct ourselves, whether it glorifies God or wrong things, you know. This is so stupid. I can't believe this. It just seems like it's never going to work. Where's God? Where are you? Or crying and carrying on. One place Moses was kind of complaining about, Lord, these people, and he says, I'm paraphrasing, but shut up and get going. Right? Why are you complaining to me? Let's go to the eighth verse, Hebrews 11:8. Hebrews 11:8. Says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Everybody wants to know, well, where are we going? Well, where are we going? Come on, God, where is this thing going to? You know, if you're going to go by faith, you go out not knowing where you're going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. 4, verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, in my Bible reading through the Bible again, I happened to finish the book of Revelation yesterday. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about New Jerusalem coming down, and the foundations are made of precious stones. When we're talking here, Abraham's talking about he's waiting for a city whose builder and maker is God. We are talking about the new Jerusalem that descends yet in the future. What Abraham was believing God for above everything else was that city. Abraham is still waiting. You think you've been waiting a long time on something? Abraham's been waiting longer. More than receiving a homeland. Remember, he was promised the land. Wherever he walked, whatever he could see. Israel. More than having a son. Remember, he was promised an heir. Isaac, a son of his own. More than that. More than being the father of many nations. He believed for a city of God. I don't think I've ever pointed that out before. Maybe I didn't realize it myself. But Abraham's number one thing he was believing for was this city. And it's not yet here. He's still waiting for it. Let's skip down to the 13th verse. There's some others talked about. And then the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Hold the phone. Hang on. Wait. This causes my head to go tilt. God is not a man that he should lie. And when he promises in his word a particular thing, if one walks in faith, his word cannot fail. It shall come to pass. How could somebody die in faith, believing God in his word, and not have what they were believing for? Concerning Pastor Sandy, I have said, it is impossible for God's word to fail. We will have what he said. And he said, for I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. Amen. To me, that says, before I pass, before she passes, she will be restored. Yet right here in my face, in the hall of fame of faith, are people who died still in faith and didn't receive the promise of what they were believing for. Does that present a problem to anybody besides me? I told a couple, I might be throwing your theology out the window this morning here. I don't have all the answers. But I'll tell you this. Here's things we maybe haven't thought about before in the Scripture, and we need to. 13 again, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, they saw them afar off, meaning in the life beyond this one. And by the way, I haven't really contemplated, meditated, researched, prayed, and talked to God about this, but I think I'm beginning to see there are some promises that are for this life, and there are some that are for eternity. And some things we won't receive in this life, but we do in eternity. That might be an answer to some of the questions. But died. Not having received the promises. Died. Not having received the promises. Now 11:32. Skip a little bit more. Go down to verse 32. It says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. There's a clue there. Sometimes people would rather go on with a good testimony than receive deliverance. It says that they might obtain a better resurrection. What's that about? Greater reward because of your testimony, how you walked with God. Amen. Think along these lines. Maybe perhaps in Roman times, Christians rounded up. They were offered a chance to renounce Christ or go into the arena with the lions. They said, lunch is served. I'm not renouncing Christ. Amen. That's refusing a deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. They will go home to the Lord having been martyred. They will not yield on their testimony, and there's reward for that. Amen. Verse 37, they were stoned. 36, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And we worry about a little embarrassment because we're Christians. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. 39, and all of these, you might say they were seemingly defeated. In every kind of victory they might be believing God for. Lord, you promised we'd eat the good of the land, and here we are wandering without enough clothes, running for our lives in the desert. It says, all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Now, this is mentioned several times already here. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and just sort of try to affirm this. A good testimony is more than obtaining the promise. Maybe we could say it this way. How you fight is more important than if you win. Just a few weeks ago, in this world, we lost Patsy Caminetti. She passed. Powerful woman of God, teacher of the Word, someone that we knew a little bit personally, just amazing on a worldwide scale. And you wonder, how is it possible? I believe it was a cancer that she succumbed to. How is it possible that one of God's great teachers of the Word and teachers of faith and healing would be lost, defeated? Well, I'll tell you this. She obtained a good testimony. I didn't know she was fighting a sickness, but knowing her, she was fighting well. How she fought is more important than that she passed. Amen. Such a defeat. Oh, is it? Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? So these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. If you or I have not yet received the promise in its full manifestation, it does not mean that we are failing. You know, you're believing for something, and you don't have it, and you don't have it, and you don't have it, and you don't have it. You start feeling like, I'm really failing at this. Something's not right. Something's not working. Says who? How you are conducting yourself, how you're handling doubts and fears, how you're talking to people, your attitude your joy, all of that maybe is what it's really about, rather than did a bill get paid or something like that. We may be magnificently succeeding at walking by faith and obtaining a good testimony. Now, I guess I'm just going to be bold here and just say, if for some reason at the end of our lives, Sandy and I, we don't have the full manifestation of all that God has promised to her, but if we've walked the journey faithfully in faith and we've obtained a good testimony, that's more important. That's more important. Amen. Amen. So whereas we may put emphasis in one place, it may really need to be put somewhere else. Trusting God when we have nothing else but His Word to stand upon is how we give Him glory and how we obtain a good testimony. Look at Romans 4:19, please. Romans 4:19. He's talking about Abraham again here. And remember, what was he looking for more than anything else? A city whose builder and maker is God. Foundations laid by God, more than anything else. But here he had a earthly promise. And it says in 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, meaning reproductively dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was aged also. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, I've always read that, giving glory to God, and just imagine in my own heart that Abraham would be standing there, glory to God. God, I give you glory. Glory to God. Glory to. And he may well have done that. But now, in reading some of these scriptures as we have, I'm thinking, because he didn't waver through unbelief, that gives glory to God. How you answer a thing may take glory from God or may give glory to God. How we come through trouble can give glory to God. Amen. Even if not successful, coming through full of joy and the Word and not wavering, you know, if someday I were to pass away from some accident that shouldn't have happened or some sickness that shouldn't be in me, it won't matter. God is faithful. He keeps His Word. I wouldn't want anybody to give one hoot about how Pastor Dan went. I just want to have good testimony. Boy, being around him was great. He always had a faith answer. He always talked the Word. He always was seeing God at work. You know, those kinds of things. How we come through trouble. The proof of faith is steadiness while enduring trouble. And that could be a struggle. I will grant you that. But the proof of faith is steadiness. One more scripture. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. 1 Peter 1, 6. See, nobody's excited and running around the room. This is so good. This is so good. This is so exciting. So exciting. Yet on the other hand, you may be succeeding wonderfully by walking faithfully with God and not wavering, whether the promise is fulfilled or it seems like a million miles away. And that says something about timing. Well, when's it going to happen? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's all about how you conduct yourself. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Anybody grieved by a few trials? Yeah, sometimes. By the way, they're not all necessary. Some of the things we misstep, we make bad choices and so on. Other things, no matter how you walk with the Lord, the enemy wants to mess with you. So if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, and we won't go to other scriptures, there are some, but there is feigned, F-E-I-G-N-E-D, feigned faith that Paul refers to in Timothy. And in a simple word, that means fake, pretend, put on. And there's genuine faith. Faith will be tested for its genuineness. Now, if anybody has gold jewelry and you want to sell it, you have to take it to somebody that can check, is it genuine and is it 10 carat, 12 carat, 14 carat, 18 carat, 24 carat? What is it? Is how genuine, how pure is the gold? Your faith is tested. Is it genuine? How are you going to know without tests? How are you going to know without trials? Elsewhere it says, do not think it strange if fiery trial comes. Right? Verse 7 again, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. What's precious? The genuineness of your faith. Whether you receive at the end or not may not be the primary thing. It may be the genuineness of how you walk with God. Being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory. See again, genuine faith, how you're coming through, gives glory to God or not. It says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you'd rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Let's comment on how we walk by faith. Do you have joy? Inexpressible? Full of glory? Just bubbling? Having trouble? Somebody says, how you doing? Oh, we got a good one going. But praise God, he's helping me. We're overcoming. That enemy thinks he's big stuff, and he ain't nothing. He can throw at us whatever he got. It don't matter. We are going to trust God no matter what. We believe God no matter what. God is faithful, and he's helping me. Amen. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. And then look at this, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith. Let's stop there. When the promise is fulfilled, that's the end of your faith. You don't exercise faith for something you have. There is an end to faith. And again here, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I already referred to this. We believe we'll spend an eternity in the presence of the Lord, yet we're not anxious and in a hurry about it. We're trying to stay around here as long as we can. Why? Staying here is opportunity to obtain good testimony. It's opportunity to help people you love, to be of some value to somebody around you. And if you think, well, I don't know that I'm of any value to people around me, you better change that attitude and perspective and start becoming valuable to people around you. That's a choice. That's a choice. You know, if you can't do anything but make a phone call to encourage them and say, hey, I was thinking about you today and just want you to know I'm praying for you. I believe in you. That's valuable. Some people would give two fingers, give an arm to have someone call them and encourage them like that. Right? So why do we delay that? We're assured of eternal salvation. That's the end of our faith concerning those things. And yet, not anxious about it, not in a hurry about it. What about this with Pastor Sandy and all these various things? I'm to enter not being anxious about it, not having it be my daily concern and burden. And you just plug in your situation, whatever it is, that's not to be your daily concern and burden. And if you go down and don't succeed at the end of, you know, receive the end of your faith, well, you're going to receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's what's more important. And how you walk with God and how you bless other people and your testimony and your conduct, giving Him glory, is more important than how many days you live upon the earth. Amen? Well, there you go. I don't know what y'all think of that. You know, I mean, God's word has to come to pass, right? It's impossible. Yet we see in the Hall of Fame of Faith that they died not having received the promise. And it didn't blow them out of the water. They were fine with that because they could see afar off. Now, even things for me in my life, I think I said to my mom this morning, yeah, those of us that are on the back half, you start thinking about eternity, heaven. Don't know about you all, but there's things around my house and so on I want to put in order. I'm not planning on leaving anytime soon. Paperwork, I want it in order. Because order is peace. So junk around my place, got to get rid of it because it affects my peace. But so think about those things because I'm starting to look beyond just this life. And I'm realizing how I live and how I walk. If we never get there with some things with Pastor Sandy, we're going to have such a time in heaven, we won't even remember this mess. And as far as I understand, we will be rejoined with those that we love, and they will be in their prime. You know, I mean, not harmed, not hurt, not sick, not in despair. And conversation that I'm missing with her because she doesn't remember certain things and all of that. If need be, we'll have that conversation in heaven. But then it's hardly going to matter. So I don't know about anybody else, and maybe this is too much all in one pill to swallow, but how I walk through with her, how we walk through with her, is the principal thing. More so than what she yet accomplishes and receives. Amen. Amen. Am I backing off? No. No. Last conversation I had with my pastor, Pastor Scott Webb, talking about not necessarily this idea, but talk about things a little bit. He said, brother, you're doing everything you know to do by faith, right? Yeah, I do. He said, well, keep on doing it and let it come to you. We all feel pressure. Maybe if I prayed more, maybe if I found the right prayer, maybe there's another scripture, maybe my pastor can tell me something I don't know, maybe, and you're looking and searching. Walk by faith, let it come to you. When he said that to me, and I contemplated on that a little bit, it brought peace to my heart. And I don't know how long we'll be struggling with whatever we're struggling with. Doesn't matter. We're going to walk by faith, and I, for one, seek to obtain a good testimony. Amen. Weeks ago, I think I said to this congregation, you know, in thinking about being a pastor, a minister, church grows, church ungrows, church grows again a little bit, ungrows some more, all of that, you know, why, Lord, don't we have thousands of people who want to hear the word, all of that. Start thinking about, well, maybe it's me as a minister. I'm not all that great and all that. And that may be true. I don't know. But I'm getting to where that don't matter. Am I doing what God's told me to do? But then I think I said to this congregation, at the end, it may turn out that the greatest thing I ever did in my life was take care of her. I may have a reward that I can hardly contemplate because I have loved unconditionally, and no matter what she needs, I'm not leaving her. I'm not abandoning her. I'm taking care of her. And there's times she gets upset and she talks to you in ways you don't want to be talked to. And overlooking that, sometimes 6 times a night she'll wake me up yelling for this or that kind of thing. You know how cranky you are when you get awakened out of sleep and all that. I love you too. Yeah. That's just something that happens. And obtaining a good testimony. Obtaining a good testimony. So, whatever days you have left on this earth, many or few, think on this. It's how you walk, more so than where you arrive to. Amen.